I don't know any jokes.
Maybe it'd help if I turn it up. All right.
Okay.
My bad, Sheila. All right, y'all ready?
You are marvelous, you are wonderful, and you are beautiful to me. You showed me unfailing love as you poured out your blood and gave me life eternally.
Oh.
see.
See the light that I have found. Oh, the marvelous light.
Thanksgiving, I'll be up.
prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lift your looks up loud and proud one more time.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
You are mine. and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
You guys will bow your heads with me just a minute, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for showing up at this place. Lord, we thank you for just being such an amazing God, for guiding us, pursuing us, and just keeping after us, even though we don't deserve it, Lord. I know for just to have you pursue me, Lord, and to use me as an imperfect person, Lord, it's just amazing. And it's, you use people like that all the time, Lord. So I'm just thankful that no matter what any of us have done, you can overcome that, and you can use anybody, anytime, anywhere. And so, Lord, I'm asking you right now to do that with my brother John. As he gets ready to bring this message to you, I'm just asking you to throw him out of the way. Use him as the vessel to say the words that you would have him say, Lord. Open the ears and the hearts and the minds of everybody in here so that they could hear it and their lives could be changed, and may it be for your glory.
Father, I just agree with my brother David in every way, and I just praise you that we could come to you in such a way and ask such things that we cannot do. We can't get out of the way. But we can appeal to you, and you can get us out of the way. And you can stand in the gap. And Father, I just, in an absolute agreement, I pray that you would minister to each and every one of us here today through your word and through your truths. And Father, that we would come from this place changed, that you would prepare our minds and our hearts to receive what you have in store for us this very day. And we would never see you the same because of how you minister to us. Right here, right now. And I pray all this in the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the only name that can change anything, the name of Jesus. We pray this. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, it's amazing today to be here before you. And that last song really touched me. It was really interesting to hear David start in praying on that. And I was just moved through the whole process, how that's my story. As Olivia was singing it, I couldn't be here before you if he hadn't interceded in my life and changed everything. He changed what I look at, what I look for, what I trust. He changed me. And he came to me in such a way that I just came to him like a child. And I was interested. We were out front as coming, people were coming in, and somebody said, "You really bless us." And I was touched by that. I thought 25 years ago, nobody would ever believe that somebody would have said that to John Paul. I mean, really, I was in that spot. I thought up until that time, I loved one person, this one right here. Even though I was pretty good at making messes, you know, and I hadn't figured it out. And in that process along the way, he just changed everything. And now I'm standing before you, and I'm going to tell you guys, I love you. I really appreciate you. I appreciate being able to interact with each and every one of you and the special gifts that you have. And the things, and my calling is to help people develop their calling. And so I stand before you excited that God would put me in such a spot, sorry as I am, mistakes and all, and here I am. And what created that? I just trust him. What is my message to you this morning? Trust him. You know, the verses that I want to go to, we're going to start in John, first chapter of John, and then we're going to go to Romans, 8th chapter, 29th verse, and then from there we're going to go to Deuteronomy and close. And this is a little different twist on, you know, here we are celebrating, this would be, if we were a traditional church, which we are not, and you had a traditional pastor, which you surely don't have, I would be up here talking about the fourth Sunday of Advent. We would be here today celebrating the coming birth of our Savior. And it's exciting. And it's an incredible situation. But if we go back to John, the first chapter, we discover something. And I'm probably, everybody here already knows this, but if you didn't, I want you to get this. Jesus was around before he was born. And this isn't a crazy thing, you know, and I want you to think about this. Let's just start reading what John says about our Lord. He says, in the beginning, this is verse 1, in the beginning the Word existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. He created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. I want to read that again. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. He was here from the beginning. When things were being spoken into existence, Jesus was here, the vessel creating this situation. The Word gave life to everything, not most things, not some things, everything that was created in His life through the light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. No matter what it looks like, our Lord will reign. Verse 6, God sent a man, John the Baptist, and He sent many before that and since then, but He's talking about John right now, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of His testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who was the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Yet He'd already been here. We've already established that. He came into the very world He created. This is verse 10. He came into the very world He created, but the world did not recognize Him. He came different than they thought He would. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. He is God in the flesh. He could have come any way He wanted to. He could have showed up on His white horse. He could have brought His sword with Him, condemned us all with the truths in there. He could have came any way. He spoke the world into existence. He could have spoke us into being different than we are. He could have come any way He wanted to. But He came as an infant. Not just an infant, not an infant of favor. He come as an infant that was looked down upon by the world. He come as a lowly infant. I just was reading this morning, they were talking about, we've all heard the story about there was no room at the inn, and they made the claim, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but it made sense to me. They made the claim that the reason that there was no room at the inn is because they were not welcome. It wasn't they didn't have room. It was there ain't room for you because you are an unwed mother, and we don't take people like that in here. You go with the critters, manure and all. I'm like, holy cow, that's crazy. I never, all this time, I never saw it like that. But I saw it differently when I read that. Is that true? I'm not sure, but it made sense. He came as this baby, helpless, would seem, the God of gods, King of kings, the one that spoke the entire world into existence. Why would He do that? Why would He choose to come in this form? He could have come any way He wanted to. He could have showed up grown. He could have shown up mighty. He could have showed up with legions of angels. Instead, He showed up with those that are looked down upon in the manure as an infant. Humble. Now, I'm not going to tell you I know all the reasons why He did it, but as I studied this, trying to understand it better, I'm like, He could have only done that in my, one of the great reasons why He did that is to show us how we're to come to Him. He came to us showing us how we're to come to Him. My own testimony is that I would not be here before you today. I'm not here on merit. Can't never get there. I'm here simply because I trusted Him. You, as you stand there looking to be, sit there, every one of you has special and unique gifts. And he wants to use those gifts. And they're mightier than you are. They're bigger than the things that you can do in your own power. And how do you get there? You trust them. You're like, okay, go ahead and use them, although it terrifies me. I want to keep reading just a little bit further in John. 10 again, he came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, even though they rejected him. But to all who believe him, oh, to all who trust in him, to all who put their whole faith in him, to all who come to him as he came to us as a child, they are reborn. And we talked about this last week, how we get reborn through repentance. That is, repentance is the birthing process to come from what we were to what we are to become. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan. We can't get it done no matter how we try or how we're made, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word, our Lord and Savior, you cannot separate. You know, this is really interesting too, and I want you to get this. The Word cannot be separated from Christ, and Christ cannot be separated from God. You can't take any part of that apart. The living Word, God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, you can't separate all of it. They have different jobs. They have different personalities, different entities, but they're inseparable. It all comes together, one package. So the Word became human and made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have not seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted on the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is greater than I am, and he existed long before me. From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another." And on it goes. So now we start to get this picture of why he would do this. And to back that up, I want to just real quick, I want to go forward to Romans with me. There's many verses from front to back. There's a theme. But this is a great verse to typify this. So if you'll just turn with me to Romans 8th chapter. And we just need to get really comfortable digging around in here. Like I shared the last 2 weeks, you are going to have a really hard time ever becoming who Christ has intended you to be in him and through him if you don't get comfortable with his word. Again, you can't separate him from it. So let's go to verse 29 here. You know, all my life, the last several years, I've been so hung up on verse 28, and I have cleaved to it, and that's the promise that keeps me going. 28 is the reason that I dig in there and I go one more time, because I know the manure of my earlier life, and I know the manure from the mistakes I still make today. And my hope is this 28th verse. And we know that God creates causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I know that if I trust him and I trust his word, that all of that, he will somehow roll it around for good. Those people that we prayed over on the list earlier today, each one of those situations, my God has an amazing way of flipping that around and creating good out of that, without exception. Naomi's little story, it's impossible. In our realm, that can never be used for good. But my God promises he will. And that drives me. When I feel like not going anymore, I'm like, wait a minute, I do not want that wreckage to be used for more wreckage. I want my God to flip it around some way and make it for good. My good, his good, good, period. So I've gotten so hung up over the years and cleaving to that verse that I seldom went to the 29th one. But here it is, backing us up this morning. For God knew his people in advance, each and every one of us, and he chose them to be like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. He showed us in every way how to get through the deal, but he started with showing up as a baby when he could have chose a lot of more glorious ways to come to us. Now turn with me for a moment to Deuteronomy, 30th chapter. You're like, well, John Paul, that's way back in the Old Testament. Yeah, we've already established he was here when life was spoken into existence. He was here when these decrees were in place, and they still apply today. So if you come with me to 10, verse 10 is where I want to start. And, you know, as we start in on this, I've thought of some stories, and how I even got here was thinking of how, as we come to him as a child, how it delights our Lord. First, he protects us to the place that we can come to him. You know, I was thinking about all these stories in my own life. I thought about the time when my youngest daughter, we were trotting out to some cattle, and my youngest daughter was right there. There was a string of us. There was 8 or 10 cowboys and her in the middle, and she was about 9. And somehow or another, her little horse sticks both front feet in a badger hole and flop, 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 flop forward. I rejoiced. It rolled plumb over her, and when she popped up, I praised God right there in front of all them guys. Because it terrified me. I rejoiced. My next oldest daughter, older than her, Jeannie, we were riding in the mountains one time, and all of us on real steep mountainside, and it was one of those switchbacks that you go up and up and up, and she was about the second from the last in the string of horses. And as we were making one of those switchbacks, her horse sees these horses above her and decides that it'll just cut across the trail and catch up. And it's like steep face. And she claws up there and she runs out of footing. And as soon as she runs out of footing, that mare starts free falling down the mountainside. As that mare turns over upside down, my daughter Jenny falls off and she's rolling. I'm above them and I'm watching Jenny falling down the mountainside and this horse falling behind her, surely to crush her. And in a moment, that horse run into a tree and bowed her ribs out, and she gets wedged in that tree, and Jenny comes to a stop about 10 feet below her. I rejoiced when that happened. I rejoiced when my son come back from Afghanistan. He was there, and I'm going to tell you, for those that have served in the military, that will improve your prayer life if you've got somebody over there. And we all do, one way or another. I rejoiced when he came back. My oldest daughter, I rejoiced when she woke up from a coma. It was crazy. She'd been in that thing over a month, and she woke up one day, and it was impossible, but it happened. I rejoiced when that happened. And I thought, well, that's probably it. No. That was preparation for what was really it. But I truly rejoiced when Gracie calls me and she's like, Dad, what do I do about this deal here? I got this problem and I can't figure it out. I'm like, well, here's what you want to do in the flesh and here's what the Bible says about it. And I can tell you which way it's going to turn out okay. Or when my next daughter, Jeannie, when I see her not teaching her daughter Bible stories, but teaching her biblical truths at 1 and 2, I'm like, whoo, that's awesome stuff. All of that prepared for that, that is truly rejoice. That's coming to the Lord as a child. That's humbling ourselves before him. My oldest daughter, Bonnie, after she coming out of the coma was awesome. But the day that was amazing, we were going down the road and I was listening to the radio and probably preaching. And she reaches over and she just turns it off. I'm like, what are you doing? She says, Daddy, before the accident, I thought I was saved. But with the relationship I now have with him, I don't know what I was back then. I truly rejoice. She was standing before my Lord as a child. And she came and she shared it with me. And I really rejoiced. I bawled. It took me forever to get over it. So come with me. With that type of stories, everyone in here, I shared those. Those are my stories. You all got your stories like that. You have your times. And if you don't have the second kind, you will have if you trust me today. If you've never made a decision to come to our God as a child, if you've come to him out of your convenience, you know, Red shared with me a couple weeks ago, he's ready to be baptized because in his first baptism, it was a baptism of convenience. He just didn't want to go to hell. Many of us have been like that. Some of you sitting here today are like that. I've been that guy. But I'm going to tell you, he is just at that point, he is just saving you for that time that when you come to him like a child, like he came to us. So today, as you're in here with me, make the choices that we're fixing to talk about right here. Verse 10, the Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his voice and keep the commands and decrees written in this book of instruction. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, the Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his voice and keep the commands and decrees written in this book of instruction. And if you turn to the Lord, turn to your Lord with all your heart and soul, like a child. Verse 11. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you. It is not beyond your reach, though it seems like it in here. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so that we can hear it and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea so far that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips. It is in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. Not just by believing that they're true, by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. The things you are fixing to do are going to blow your mind. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, anything else, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long and good life in the land you are crossing, the Jordan. You're not going to live in the place that you're going into. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourselves firmly to him. This is the key to your life, and if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. And so is the story. What's the answer to your life? Coming to him like a child. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for showing us. You came to us innocent and pure. And what would seem is helpless, though you had many choices. You had options unlimited. And yet you came to us like that so that we would see that it is okay, that we can trust you to come to you in the same way. Matter of fact, you encourage us to, you relish the thought, you will rejoice, you will delight in us if we come to you in the same way, as an infant, as a child. Father, I praise you for this. I pray that if there's anybody in here that has not came to you in this way, that right now they are making that choice and they would make it public before this day is out. They would seek me or somebody else and they would say, yes, today is the day I choose to come to the living God as a child and trust him, though I don't understand. If that's you listening right now, I just pray that you would seek somebody out and make that claim. Father, I praise you for your truths and for standing in the gap for each and every one of us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. As I close, I got one more little story of my own life. I didn't, up until the last 2 years, I hadn't had opportunity to spend a lot of time with my grandchildren. I loved them, but they lived a long ways from where I was. About a year and a half ago, my son came, and they were just visiting, and my two grandchildren, at that time, one of them was 4, and one of them was fixing to be 2. And they got to know me over a couple of weeks, and then 3, and we got to spend more and more time. And one day, I come riding in the driveway. There was 3 or 4 of us horseback, and we come riding in the driveway to the house, and as my grandson, coming 2-year-old, sees me, coming 3-year-old, I stand corrected. But as he sees me, he's excited. He can't see anything else in the world. He just runs to me, and I stepped off my horse, and I caught him. And I thought, that is the picture of how my Lord wants us to come to him. Forget all the rest of us, what's safe, what isn't, what we understand in our own mind. Our God is here, and he loves us, and he wants us to come to him in that same way. Thank you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? Baby boy is heaven's